report, and therefore, page by page, as we go in our proposal to go page by page, whether it's section by section, we could go 1, 2, up to the last, and then we will correct you on making additions and or deletions based on what we will be using Valerie, if you can take us through.
Chair, the content advisor will take you through, but can I just add the structure of the report so that members will understand the information that I don't call. For example, the part on page 6 of the, with the entities and page 5 on the mandate of the department. That information that we already received in our DRR report, in previous reports, so it's just the receipt of the mandate of the entities. On page 10 is also the functions of the committee. And then I want to take members to page 12. In terms of this report, committees must give an overview of key statistics. So we have to put down the number of meetings that were held in a particular year from 2014 up to, I put it up to 27 November, which is today. So obviously, if next week, the next meetings are not included yet because the House Chair and wanted the report by today already. And then it gives an overview of the number of pieces of legislation that's been processed by the committee. Members will probably have forgotten that there was something for the merchant shipping law that the committee did that past 2014. So what we've done was we've put down the all the legislation that the committee has been processing in a particular year. I spoke with my colleagues because in some years there were times when a bill would overlap 2 years, like NLP, the committee started when the year after was the same. So those would overlap. And then I've included the two bulk sheets that the committee is still processing, the aviation one. So I can't include it, but particularly the H&S bill and the AXA bill because it's now being published. So it is in the pipeline. The number of oversight trips undertaken within, it's just to jog members' memory. There were a few to Strata. There were one to AT&S, CBRTA. There were quite a few oversight trips in the beginning of this committee's and most of them were in the 2014, 15, 16 years. Members would recall the one to the northwest on route to look at the rope there, the bridges. I'm sorry about that. Then there's a question on the international agreements that were processed by the committee. I was surprised to see that there were 7 international agreements that were processed by the committee from 2014. And see, those are highlighted in the report. Maybe Alma will take the committee through those, but I'll just to jog members' memories. On page 42, some of the agreements was the MARPOL one on pollution from ships. In 2014, just when the committee started to work, there was the Nairobi International Convention on the Removal of Wreck on page 44. There was the Cape Town Agreement in 2015, the International Convention on the Standards of Training and Fishing with such as now in 2015, the African Maritime Transport Charter in 2015. There's one that dealt with liability and compensation for damage in connection with carriage of hazardous and noxious substances by sea in November 2015 that the committee dealt with. And then the latest one was the one in 2018, the SAFO Charter. So in terms of the report, the committee has said which agreements were dealt with, the status of the report, so it would say when it was adopted by the NA, when it was completed by the committee, and then the date of enforcement for those conventions. And then again on page 12, this report asks for statutory appointments made, the committee that don't do any statutory appointments, and interventions considered, those are normally with NH select committees, it's not with, they are not the NH select committee with this portfolio committee. And then also this report also asked for the number of petitions considered by the committee, which was one in this instance. And then I just want to highlight another thing in terms of the structure of the report chair. And that is the master attendance list, which is also just the admin function. In terms of this report, we have to attach the attendance of members for the committee. So there's one available. This one has all the shows all the members information on the same sheet. But I will forward it to the members from this group for the individual attendance registers. But just for the sake of caution, normally we wait to give it at the end of the financial year. So if members need it for their own purposes. So that is not a completeness. The issue with this report is that normally previous reports were finalized at the end of the financial year. They would do it at the end of March for previous committees. In this time, we have to do it in November, which is a very odd period to do the legacy report because there are still outstanding work, there are two goals outstanding that still need to be processed, and there is still work happening in February. So unfortunately, that won't be covered future meetings by the in this report.
Thank you, Al. Chair, some of the other committees, I know Public Works have taken the decision exactly because they do still have quite a few items that are coming to the committee in these 2 weeks, as well as in February and March, that they've decided that they will only adopt the final legacy report in March. This is, for members, please remember this is a draft. We're not saying these must be your recommendations. This is just what we try to capture and come up with an idea of the type of recommendations that one will see in the legacy report. The things like why the intervention proposed by the committee isn't captured here is because the template that we were given was both for select committees as well as for committees, so we had to populate as we went on. Just for members, on page one, the first grade block is almost serves as an executive summary of the document. So these recommendations are not exactly the same ones that are at the end of the document, but we will make sure that they reflect both once we get members' input on the final recommendations for the legacy. The previous committee in the fourth parliament did not finalize and adopt the final legacy, so we had not. We don't really have one to work from. We have minutes from a meeting that they had in March. So I tried to extract some of the outstanding items and show how the committee had dealt with it during the first year when the committee was there. On number one, on the reflections for the committee itself has no operations plan or strategic plan that's set and adopted. We were working on a draft the whole time with the parliamentary program changes that come and the work that we have that came in as necessary and had to be focused on, like our legislation. We had to move meetings around, and that's one of the points of concern that we also raised in the report. The focus of the committee was completing oversight over the department through calling regular meetings, receiving presentations by the department and entities. We required urgent meetings and follow-ups were called to address issues of serious concern. Due to constant programming changes, not all areas were covered, and there was a delay in finalization of legislation due to late tabling thereof by the department or short-term community programs. The late tabling of the department comes as a reference to one of the recommendations that we've made in our BRRR report, that we have requested that the department make sure that they plan their legislation submissions to Parliament a bit better in the years going forward. The committee's focus areas for the fifth Parliament was on finalisation of legislation and completion of reports on the budget, the APP and strategic plan, as well as the BRRR. The committee has specific focus areas for every year, but in the main, our focus, as you'll see when you look at the draft annual report for this year, was on the main for the finalisation of our legislation. On the concerns that were outstanding from the fourth Parliament, the committee received a presentation on the National Scholar Transport Policy in June 2015. The matter remains a concern to the committee at present, and a solution is yet to be found. Scholar Transport at the end of the fourth Parliament had already been on their agenda for 7 years. They've spoken about it, and our committee has also spoken and addressed it over the past 5 years. The committee received a presentation in August 2015 from the Southern African Bus Operators Association on the financial state of the commuter bus industry, as well as from SACO, NCA, and the South African Commuters Organization on Integrated Public Transport. The committee also received a presentation from the Housing Agency, Road and Transport, on the Mobility Bus Commuter Challenge. The committee received a presentation in August 2015 from the National Ministerial Task Team on the Lesotho South Africa Cross-Border Challenges. Noting the progress to date made by the CBRTA and the Department, the committee has to report that this matter remains unsolved satisfactory and will most likely have to be taken up again in this Parliament, as the CBRTA presented in their presentation on the annual report that there's no real finality yet on those concerns. Key areas for future work, just pointing out the matters that are in the strat plan of the department and that will most likely come before the next Parliament, and then also if some of our legislation cannot be finalised before the House rises next year. Of particular importance is the Civil Aviation Amendment Bill that was tabled November 2018 and will need to be picked up by Parliament, as well as the long-awaited introduction of the SAV Bill. Going forward, the department has set itself the following targets and six Parliament will have to ensure that there's adherence to this. 2019-20, the department intends to bring the Merchant Shipping Bill to Parliament. This is different to the Merchant Shipping Amendment Bill that members have processed in the beginning of the term, as well as the Transport Appeal Tribunal Amendment Bill. They also would focus on the implementation of the Green Transport Strategy, which they launched this year in October Transport Month. Monitor implementation of the 10 NATMAP priority pilot projects, implementation of the National Rail Act by 2021, the Railway Safety Act by the same date, and the draft bill for funding legislation of road entities to Parliament by 2020-21. In addition, six Parliament should continue monitoring of the implementation of the National Aviation Transformation Strategy, implementation of the new taxi recapitalisation program, implementation of property modernisation program, progress on the white paper on national transport policy, progress on the draft regional transport integration market access strategy, implementation of the green transport strategy, and progress on the road tariff determination framework. These ones are multi-year projects, so it was bound to roll over. It was not due to the fault of the committee. This is based on how the term planning of the department has gone. Key challenges that we try to list, challenges caused by unexpected or unplanned poor requests for assistance as received from time to time by the committee, or unplanned referrals for reporting affects the program of the committee. The department continued late tabling legislation, the SEO committee program being clogged towards the end of the term, and legislation has to be prioritized in order to try and process these in time before they lapse. The unfortunate parting of committee members and the change in the membership to the committee also affected the institutional knowledge acquired from the start of the term. The proposed recommendations that we've listed there ongoing monitoring of the progress made through the Minister's multi-year turnaround strategy of the department, continued reporting by the department on the quarterly report, or section 52 report stream, continued monitoring that the department and entities implement the audit improvement plans, have functioning internal audit committee in place, as well as implement consequence management as advised by the Office of the AGSA and recommended by this committee and all its budget and municipal reports. The conducting of regular oversight visits is possible also in collaboration with committees that do oversight over the department's clients. For example, the Department of Public Works and the Extended Public Works Program, to gather material evidence on the implementation of projects and value for money from delivery on projects linked to grant transfers. The outstanding legislation affecting the financing of department entities must be prioritized, as well as the finalization of policies on scholar transport and GFIP. Oversight over the implementation of cross modernization projects, the integrated public transport networks grants, the provincial road maintenance grants, and other public transport projects implemented nationally by the funds from the department. As Valerie indicated, 1.1 is just a repeat of what members have seen in several reports, as well as the listing of the entities. It's just so that we cover that. The functions of the committee is taken, we also always include this in our report. As referred to the committee by the Constitution. In terms of the method of work of the committee, we don't have a method that differs, so we just highlighted that the majority of the work and oversight was done through one of the department and its entities to report to the committee. Where possible, the committee underwent oversight visits to facilities and areas of responsibility to the department and its entities. The committee met on a weekly basis, at least once a week according to the schedule of committees. The committee interacted with briefing documents from the department, entities and other invited stakeholders. This was done with support to the allocated support staff. On the purpose of the report, this is just to give an overview of the activities and to point out areas of concern for the sixth parliament. Valerie went through the statistics. The stakeholders is quite very broad. We could say all the citizens of South Africa, but to be a little bit more specific, we try to say all the Department of Transport and entity stakeholders, transport interest groups, and the AGSA. What I would like members to go through is especially paragraph 4, because we cross-referenced in the report to this paragraph so that we don't have to repeat ourselves on challenges further on down when we look at the legislation. Paragraph 4 seeks to give an overview of the work done since inception by the committee. With the inception of the present committee, the chairperson was elected at a meeting on 24 June 2014. The chairperson said that the committee would have to deal with challenging issues because transport drove the economy. The committee was expected to make a difference in people's lives, and she looked forward to working harmoniously with all committee members to address these issues. The chairperson was of the view that there was a lack of knowledge that could be tapped into this committee, and solidifying that issues would not serve the country and the committee should use the next 5 years to make a difference to the lives of South Africa. Been a continuous theme as well also from the fourth parliament. The committee has since their first engagement worked towards achieving its oversight role over the department in order to ensure that the lives of citizens are positively affected by the provision of transport services. Where these failed the citizens, the committee was never hesitant to address these incidents, concerns, or even internal department or entity-based issues that may impede the provision of transport services. Of greatest concern during the term was PRASA, specifically its metro rail operations. The entity responsible for public transportation of the majority of the citizens of the country, PRASA was called in to report to the committee the most out of all of the department's entities. Over the past 4 years, an excess of 24 meetings were held in PRASA on issues ranging from their corporate plans, annual reports, the late tabling of their 2016-17 annual reports, progress, annual delays on the modernization strategy, feedback regarding investigations flowing from public protectors' reports, institutional issues related to staff concerns, concerns regarding the safety of passengers and staff, conditions, arson and vandalism of rolling stock and infrastructure, allegations of state capture, board vacancies, and executive management vacancies, just to highlight but a few of the issues. PRASA as an entity remains a concern to the committee and the sixth parliament will need to keep a close eye on the implementation of turnaround strategies, as well as the rollout of the modernization strategy.
However, it has presented plans that seek to remedy its most immediate challenges in order to turn the business around and improve on its service delivery to the citizens of the country. The next paragraph just highlights the committee's budget vote for 2005, as well as that budget vote linked with the strategic plan report. I was perhaps a little bit eager in the hope that the committee would do a fixed one in March next year. Valerie said maybe not. I thought we were going to be overachievers. But if we do get around to it, then at least we could have scored a 5 on our performance. Other than the reports, the committee also received presentations from entities on current and future projects, as and when feedback was required. Specific importance and due to their multi-year lifespan, pilots continued proper modernization projects as well as major road projects, both tolled and non-tolled, as planned by Sunrail. Entities such as RAD, Sunrail, and RPO are especially concerned with their continued financial viability, especially due to the amendment and finalization of legislation, or a need for clarity or amendments to funding policies. The entities that rely on regulation and changing of fees from industry, charging of fees from industry players in the transport field, that we submit proposals for legislative or regulatory amendments that are before the department and should be closely watched forward. Failure to implement these requests regarding legislation and or regulation that directly impact them may lead to negative findings on the liquidity. The second paragraph looks at the quarterly reports. It's just a general oversight that we've looked at approximately 11 quarterly reports today. We will check on our numbers for the reports on the statistics because Valerie, we still have to include our last annual report. And if the department does present their third quarter report before we finish next year, we'd also like to include it. The next paragraph focuses on our BRRR reports, also 5 that we've done. And we also highlight the lacking in the last one, especially of ATMS. ATMS has tabled a report, though recently. The committee has not received the presentation on it. I had a quick look at it, and I could not find an actual audit opinion in the report. They did have a line there that said it's qualified for that, but we still have to see how we're going to manage ATMS. The next one is also important for the six parliaments to note that during the tenure of the current committee, several recommendations have been made to the minister in an attempt to give guidance towards ensuring that negative repeat findings from audit reports are not recurring. Along with these recommendations, there were additional reporting requests that would require report back from the Department of Entities on outstanding matters on a regular basis. These are contained in the BRRR reports of the committee, as well as highlighted in our section 2.0. Directly related to the implementation of BRRR, as well as determining progress on the implementation of ADSA recommendations, the committee has report back meetings on these issues from 14 October 2014 annually with the AGSA. The next proposed meeting on progress in these matters was planned for February, and that should allow the sixth parliament to have an up-to-date response on recommendations that might remain unresolved or unimplemented. The next one on the convention, our number that we captured them has just changed from 5 to 7. And during its tenure, the committee considered and reported in 7 instances on conventions, agreements, and charters as depicted in the table below. It's important for the six parliaments to note that these international documents do have financial implications for the department and some of its entities that serve as implementers to the terms and all obligations contained there. Some of the conventions, like the most recent one on SASO, is yet to be enforced, and once it receives the required 2/3 signatories, it could have future financial impact on the department as well going forward. Members will see in the list where we indicate links to a convention on the date with respect to enforcement that quite a few of those conventions that we have processed are not yet enforced, because some of the main signatory states are not signed yet. On the 5th of June 2018, we tried to look in this paragraph towards the vacancies and the concerns that the committee raised on the vacancies. The minister presented to the committee on progress and plans regarding the filling of vacancies in boards and on executive level as this relates to the entities. During its deliberations on the 2018 BRRR, the committee noted with concern that many of these vacancies have still not been filled
and another feedback session on progress in this regard will have to be scheduled. Unfortunately, the committee has no part in statutory appointments, board members, or officials in the Department of Energy. However, especially since it has become evident that the department itself is managed by senior management, mainly in acting appointments, and this has subsequently brought it down to the entity. The committee, through its oversight, never hesitated in raising their concerns on these matters, and has done so formally in all their budget vote support as well as beautiful oracles over the years. A number of interim measures have been put in place by the minister to at least allow for the entities and their boards to be functional through the use of interim board appointments. This interim arrangement, however, cannot last, and the end of term will soon approaching at the start of this department. From 24 February 2015, the committee received a presentation annually on the legislative program of the department each year. Out of these presentations, those goals that were tabled before and considered by the committee are listed in the table that Valerie referred to earlier. Out of these listed, the committee, along with the Select Committee on Economic and Business Development, were able to process the RCO amendment bill, as well as, and I'm anticipating that they will finalize the NLCA amendment bill as well. They should be looking at RCO today. Okay, it is envisioned that RCO amendment bill will be sent to the President prior to the writing of the fifth Parliament, in the hopes that the committee can also process our part of it as soon as it's referred back to us, so that the NLCA amendment bill will follow suit. On this one, on 20 November 2018, we finalised the report on that, and it is hoped that the Select Committee would be able to consider the bill prior to the writing of the fifth Parliament. The Merchant Shipping Amendment Bill was finalised, as well as the RAC Amendment. Well, the RAC Amendment Bill was withdrawn, so it is off our program. It was on our program, but the department withdrew it, so I'll just indicate the other discussion. The bill before the committee, but yet to be deliberated on or received public submissions on or has desirability reports done. The Private Members Bill on Sunrail Amendment Act, the AT&S Amendment Bill, the OXA Amendment Bill. Presentations and briefings were made on these to the committee during the 2018 year. The Civil Aviation Amendment Bill was only produced on 15 November and will most likely have to be revisited in the sixth Parliament. Those proposed pieces of legislation that were planned to but never introduced to Parliament during the first term are listed below as well. These will inevitably lead to changes in targets of the strategic plan of the department, and those directly impacting the financial stability of entities would be proposed to be prioritized during the sixth Parliament. The committee did point out to the department that it was concerned about the influx of federal legislation so close to the end of the current parliamentary term, and the department was advised to ensure that its planning improves to allow for the thorough processing of consideration, consultation, and deliberations in both houses of parliament on legislation before it. In the next paragraph, the committee declined to consider issues directly sent to it by members of the public via petition, such as the Falkirk Road from Penandaba petition, as well as issues of concern highlighted by interest groups such as Uniplate, ALTA, Uber, on issues regarding the NLCA amendment bill, as well as meter taxi versus e-hailing driver violence, and hashtag Unite Behind. With a view to reducing road carnage, the committee also received a presentation by the National Longer Transport Campaign Steering Committee, and the committee presented oversight reports regarding their visits to various transport department projects, as well as areas of concern as highlighted by the public regarding road and or bridge construction. In addition to the usual department quarterly reports, the committee received reports periodically from the department on the Mulatto Corridor Development Initiative, which the committee was very passionate about, as well as the annual festive period road accident statistic briefing. The majority of the department's entities work towards the reduction of fatalities in our roads, and the committee ensured that briefings on progress were delivered and that targets set were aligned with the reduction of these statistics. The committee received presentations regarding safety concerns at the Oratumbo International Airport after close proximity incidents, as well as follow home crimes were increasing. OXA and SAPS made presentations regarding the safety and security plans they would be operating on to ensure the safety of users and passengers of the National Airport. And our last paragraph there, the committee also took particular interest in the rollout and implementation of the IPTN grant, how the search and identified cities were rolling out their advice after the system. The committee called all 13 cities representatives to deliver comprehensive presentations on progress, challenges, and risks faced by them in the implementation of these projects. The committee noted that the department stated that a review would be done by December 2018 in order to determine progress and whether the allocation of the grant would be reduced from underperforming cities. The committee also intended to conduct oversight of these over-identified cities and is hoping to complete this before the first parliament rises. Again, I don't know if our program will allow for that. The funding and monitoring of implementation of IPCM in the certain cities should be monitored, not done, but should be monitored by the city department. So legislation, Valerie has gone through for members. The ones that are highlighted in grey are not completed. Just underneath it, a very short note on the challenges that we had. The department's late tabling of legislation, two instances where the bill had to be re-advertised to propose amendments after the first round of submission. And on content-related challenges, many of the bills are heavily reliant on regulations and or agreements that are yet to be drafted or published, and the full understanding of the impact of the provisions of the bill could not be determined at this phase. Issues for follow-up is again just the relisting that I did earlier on the outstanding legislation and policies. On oversight trips, Valerie has gone through those, indicates the recommendations that the committee made, and the dates when the reports were done, and when the visits were undertaken, as well as the objectives of that oversight trip. Ideally, the committee should have done one year. We did have a very good year in the 2015-16 period. On page 41, looking at the challenges due to programming issues, not all oversight trips were undertaken at the most opportune time or at the time that concerned the road. If you remember the fall pit issue, we couldn't go very close to when they presented or raised the issue. So at the time that the committee visited, the road conditions were already in a different state. Follow-up trips to sites that were incomplete during the first visit had not been possible, and the committee had to rely on feedback from the Department of Service. I know members wanted to revisit the Gibera plant in Nigel as well, which we did not have time to get to. Unavailability of members to travel on proposed days led to delays in solidifying travel dates in order to have a quorum delegation. We can remove that, but it just shows the issues that we had with the parliamentary program in cross-reference to the program that the committee has drawn up. Content-related challenges, regular feedback on recommendations from these reports are not always received by the department. Issues for the sixth parliament, when scheduling oversight trips, make provision for follow-up trips where possible, and the program organization and other ITPN plans should see implementable phases during the term of the sixth parliament and must be monitored. So we've not been able to undertake any study tours. The international agreements are listed along with the dates of enforcement and those that are already in place, still outstanding. Under the challenges for the processing, if you members have any recommendations for challenges in terms of processing the reports, from what I could determine, it went reasonably smooth and there were no real issues with those. On issues for follow-up for the sixth parliament, the committee should take into account that the implementation of these agreements or charters and treaties inevitably result in financial costs to the department and its entities once it's implemented, and the department is in some instances then playing catch-up to cover the membership fees and or fines emanating from those charters. The committee is not responsible for statutory appointments, interventions we did not list, petitions is our faulted petition. Just on technical and operational for Falkirk, we listed logistical arrangements that could have been better if the vehicles we traveled in were not adequate for the road terrain. Due to communication difficulties, the area was not well served by telecommunication networks. It was not easy to relay information to the citizen community. Scheduling of the oversight to the area relevant was postponed on several occasions due to unavailability of sufficient members for forums. Availability of language practitioners would have assisted. National department staff were not present on the day that we visited the area. On content-related challenges, the department had not submitted a follow-up report on the matter, and the provincial department had not delivered a presentation on the road, any concerns or the work they had done there, or the required to relay these to members on site itself. The six parliaments, issues for follow-up, the department and the Northern Cape department tasked with the maintenance of this road should report back on progress. Further recommendations made by the committee report on this. In terms of obligations conferred to the committee by legislation, this is our budget report, our report on the APP's and strategic plan as well as our future for art. Summary of outstanding issues, the issues were highlighted in paragraph 4 and in the blocks, so we did not repeat it here at the table, but if members feel that we should do so, we can add that there. Other matters referred by the speaker, we just listed here the letter from the House Chair on the 15th of June regarding allegations of state capture in organs of state, with specific reference to PRASA. Status of the report is that no report will be finalised other than the interim report that was sent to the House Chair on the work that had already been done by the committee at the time of receipt of the report. On challenges for technical, federal, other bodies were tasked with investigating allegations of state capture in process. Despite numerous draft programs for engagement having been presented and amended to date, amended no date could be determined for commencement of the inquiry. On content-related challenges, as no inquiry commenced, there is nothing to report. However, one would have some trouble obtaining information on this as several other bodies were simultaneously considering the same issues and allegations. For the six parliaments, allegations regarding state capture is being considered under the Judicial Commission of Inquiry as well as via investigations by the Hawks. The committee may want to take up this inquiry once those processes have been finalised. The recommendations in 15 should be linked up with the paragraph 5 in the executive summary. The department should ensure that its legislative program allows for sufficient time for Parliament to process legislation. The committee operational plan or strategic plan should be considered and amended annually for the duration of the sixth Parliament. The agenda of the committee should allow for adoption of minutes at the beginning of each meeting. Regular management committee meetings must continue as they assist greatly in cases where program amendments are required. And the full use of proposed meeting dates and proposed oversight visits that are planned for Fridays could improve committee performance output, as it will assist the new committee to cover as many projects, modes, programs, or concerns as possible. On the committee strategic plan, again, there was no plan. However, we did have a draft plan that we had submitted. The master attendance list is not on this document, but as Valerie indicated, it will be attached.
Thank you, thank you, Emma. Some of the members here, the input on the issues that we need to be able to highlight. Can I check, honorable member? Key highlights, are we fine? Thank you.
that will also be shut out. I think myself, I don't sell an agent, which is not in the UK. My other people are all over the UK.
What's the budget for the foundation? Chair, it's unfortunate that I did receive the email with the notice, but I had no time to look at the presentation, Chair. But one would like to get a sense if there is anything that stresses the importance of the Sixth Parliament looking into the program of the mass rapid transport system. I'm not sure whether I did get you talking about it, but what also interests me is that you mentioned us to rewind our cassette starting from 2014 up to this present year, not understanding that the legacy report means that it's the end of our employment contract. Also, yes, you are clearly presenting it, but to us it's also a legacy report that we'd like to leave behind, and also the end of our employment contract. But Chair, I wanted to check if there is anything that comes to the challenge of the transport.
It refers to the integrated public transport network, right?
Yes.
Because that is the
BRT. Yes.
The city also does like us to refer to it as BRT.
Okay.
Because the grant name is the ICTN.
Okay.
So, but we have included that they keep on monitoring.
Okay.
Any other takes from the specific people who came
who requested certain things to come to us. So that is why we were looking at the issues that we were looking at. If you can continue together. Any other issues? Honorable Defector? Honorable Manti, Defector, are you okay? Honorable Minister? I'm happy. Honorable Panda?
No, Chair, I just wanted to check that since there is this proposal of finalizing everything in March, so what will be the status of the...
Okay, I wanted to say that as part of our recommendation, the very first sentence, the committee had no set of priorities and strategic plans. So that we make a recommendation that a 5-year first plan for the committee be adopted and on an annual basis, despite the fact that we know that parliamentary problem is not changing, that we are able to have operation planning from time to time having been adopted, and also as part of the recommendation, I would also want to say that all the grants, it be your integrated public transport network grant, it be the provincial road maintenance grant, it becomes very, sometimes practically impossible. Even for us as a committee, you can be able to say there was or there is value for money with respect to this grant. And I would just quickly say, when we were doing oversight, I think it's 2015, 2016, to Northwest and part of Gauteng, it's 800 million, which was given to the Department of Transport in Northwest, was not used for what it was supposed to be. And when we're checking with the MEC of my daughter, was it
public?
MEC Madoda Sambat, he indicated that the money is Sitokusan. Sitokusan was yes? Sitokusan. Sitokusan. No, not Sitokusan. Sitokusan was Sitokusan in his will.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you can see that the will just came and take the money, and I don't know where it was dropped. But in effect, they never had control. What I need to remind members is, for every grant to be allocated to the provinces, there must be a business case which is made by this provincial government, and they will account on a regular basis as to how the money has been utilized. And when we were checking with the Department of Transport, National Department of Transport, we could not get clearly how they are monitoring this money is not to go into Sotoko Tani and be able to do the work, because remember there are several bridges which were broken, which were never repaired because the money did not reach where it was meant to be. And also when you look at the integrated transport plan, public transport network grant, and you take municipalities for example, there is money that has been allocated to the municipality in Sundusi. I'll take Sundusi because the guys from Sundusi are here. But when you check at the program and progress report, when they were tabled, the progress report is not equivalent to the money that has been allocated to them. Meaning that there is something that is definitely not consistent in how they are utilizing. And the reason why I'm saying this is because we need to say as the committee that it is important that the follow-ups as they have been done, the department should also be held accountable, that you cannot give money and not be able to see, you don't see value for money, and you are not even saying anything or challenging or stopping the money where a need arrives. So basically, for me, those are the critical things that I wanted to talk to. But also, I want to probably as a recommendation that looking at the entity, there is a presidential review of entity that for me it will be important when we highlight to the sixth parliament to the fact that we should try and always remind the department that it is important that they look in, they assist Parliament with respect to the review of the entities, because looking at the distance, if you've got sea rescue, you've got maritime, and all of them have got boards, their objectives, they've got CEOs, their objective is one and the same thing. Is it not possible that some of the business entities can be able to be housed in one big maritime institution so that we are able to maximize utilization of resources, as compared to you have all these little boards which actually its objective is the same. You've got all these many CEOs which actually objectives are the same. So we need to really make that kind of a recommendation to say how best can we be able to do. Much as we are aware of the fact that some of the entities are regulatory in nature. You can't be a referee and a lawyer at the same time. So I just felt that having gone through this report, it becomes very important that we make recommendations to the effect that probably some of the things we failed to deal with during our time, but those who will be coming after us will be able to look into the issues. The challenges of legislation that comes at the tail end is one of the things that we should be able to really highlight. If I was to say, should be part of the reflection of the committee to say, at hindsight, remember the SACA, we made a visit to the entity. As early as 2015, they were indicating that they need to comply with international civil organization issues, and the bill has to be amended. And we even went to an extent as a portfolio committee that probably we need to have a committee bill or a bill that will be able to assist them. Until now, we are living. That bill has not come to the committee. So for me, that becomes one of the things that we need to say, how do we take the processes forward? How do we make sure? Because on arrival in 2014, we were told that these are the things, MTESF, medium-term expenditure framework that was presented with a five-year plan. Those are, these are the issues which were there in the five-year plan, but until now, those they have never seen light of the day, precisely because the merchant shipping bill was proposed that it need to be overhauled. SAR was supposed to be here as early as 2014. I used to quote the newspaper article by the then DG of Transport on the 12th of August 2013, where we're saying SAR is a thing of the past, is going to Parliament. And until today, that bill has not arrived. And therefore, my proposal would be that the department must never put into their five-year plan the things that they know they are not in control. Because every time we're asking, they will tell you it is still with NEDLAC, it is still in consultation, it is still with cabinet, they are definitely not in control of what is happening. For me, these are the issues that I felt I need to raise. But also, very critical, we need to raise the fact that we couldn't go abroad. Every time they were telling us that there is no money, every time there was an excuse, it's not out of our own fault. That we didn't go do. In fact, ours was not a study tour, but ours was an oversight. We were doing oversight over South African money, which was to be expended in Brazil and also in France. And we never had, because there was always the challenge of no money and no money. Let me leave it at that. Thank you very much. Any other, Honorable Teko, Honorable Panza, Honorable Shannon?
Just also say, to add on what we have just said, that the oversight that we take to Brazil was as a result of the legislative report of the previous parliament. We need to highlight that because we will consider that legislative report that we claim that oversight, which we never address because of parliamentary whatever change.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, yes, I thought that you were going to go to the extent that we discussed all the issues of the article, but we should also even look at the reviewing whether some other things really need, you know, that project or that arrangement. Because from the report that we have seen, some have actually already. And even to look at the whole model, whether it's working or not. And I think that's part of the recommendation. And we should also include that one.
The review of the BRT.
Of the BRT.
Mm-hmm.
In total.
To express my impression on the issue of millions and millions can be saved in terms of running operation
between Prasa and Transnet.
Yeah,
I'm just checking, what's the difference between Prasa and Transnet? To make the difference is to make the state to pay itself.
That's
the difference. Honorable Dictator?
Whereby the finger was pointing at us, directly at us, while ourselves see in the kind of self that you are not accounting to some people, but you are accounting to Parliament.
we can rephrase the section to a more all-encompassing viewpoint that says that the committee legally must consider and report on all matters tabled and refers to it by the House.
Yes.
That will include petitions, it will include all the committee's meetings. Even our oversight is also included here. It's almost of an additional aspect if the committee had a duty in terms of statutory appointments, then that one would most likely have been included in here, but we don't have that other than what is referred to. So we can rephrase it that way and take out the specific reference to the report if that will be included.
Members, is there any other matter that you believe should be in company?
in this report. Honorable
Chair, I think the main one is the one that I have to say on it. What are we recommending now? Are we wanting to have a draft or essentially or take the report?
If we are agreeing either with the report, my proposal would be that as and when we're doing the work, we infuse the work that we have done into the report, if we agree with the report. If not, if we believe there's still work going to be done in the report, then we can agree to the postponement until March next year. Are we agreeing to the report as it is, or the members? Can there be any member move for the adoption of the report with the amendment as made?
I move.
You move, Honorable Musinga.
I abstain.
You don't regret.
He was moving.
Okay, I thought you were moving also. Is there any seconder to the move that we adopt the report with the proviso that whatever we're going to be doing from now on, it will have to be populated into the report until we finish our work? Seconder? Are there other matters?
I'm
saying the second. Yeah, adopted as a living document that will always a movie sort of that will always change its colours. Thank you, honorable members. Thank you very much. We've got the SADC safety to be adopted by Parliament this afternoon, as moved by Honourable Mutinga, that is to be adopted. So we will also support you. Yeah, no, but definitely we will support you on this one. But you must just anticipate that there will be rejection. Honourable members, the meeting is adjourned.